Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text number 33. Apare Vasudevasya Devakyam Yachitobhyagar Ajastvamasya Khemaya Vadhaya Cha Suradvisham Apare Vasudevasya Devakyam Yachitobhyagar Ajastvam Asya Khemaya Vadhaya Cha Suradvisham Apare Vasudevasya Devakyam Yachitobhyagar Ajastvam Asya Khemaya Vadhaya Cha Suradvisham Vadhayasya Suradvisham Apare Vasudevasya Devakyam Yachitobhyagar Ajastvamasya Khemaya Word-to-word meaning Apare Others Vasudevasya, of Vasudev, Devakyam, of Devaki, Yajitaha, being prayed for, Abhyagat, took birth, Ajaha, unborn, Tvam, you are, Asya, of him, Kshemaya, for the good, Vadhaya, for the purpose of killing, Cha, and Suradvisha, of those who are enemies of the demigods. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Others say that since both Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for you, you have taken your birth as a son. Undoubtedly, you are unborn, yet you take a birth for the welfare and to kill those who are enemies of the demigods. Purport. It is also said that Vasudeva and Devaki, in their previous birth, as Sutapa and Prishni, underwent a severe type of penance to get the Lord as their son. And as a result of such austerities, the Lord appeared as their son. Is already declared in the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord appears for the welfare of all people of the world and to vanquish the asuras or the materialistic athis. Omagyana dhimirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namah Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnamamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganar Sugranathanvitam Tvam Sajivam साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्तराधा कान्त नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये पांचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमोम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषाशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासी गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So, the translation once again. Others say that since both Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for you, you have taken your birth as a son. Undoubtedly, you are unborn, yet you take your birth for the welfare and to kill those who are enemies of the demigods. So, tomorrow is Makara Sankranti. And for some it is today. So, that is the day when Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas. So I would like to speak a little bit on that today. Seeking everyone's permission and blessings. So, I know a therapist in South Bombay. She was my student. So I just asked her out of curiosity, like, what are the main problems that people are facing nowadays? Because like with any other softwares, even people's mental problems get updated very fast in today's world. So I asked her, what's the latest in the market? So she told me the top three. So the bronze medal goes to fear of judgment. People are fearful that, you know, like, you know, especially she said typically the age group between 16 and 26, 27. So people of that age group, typically she said, that they are fearful of how they are being seen by others, how they are perceived by others. That fear of judgment is predominant. So at number two is, now keep in mind that this is South Bombay. So, the number two is, they're confused about their sexual orientation, whether they're homosexuals or heterosexuals. And the gold medal goes to a concern that they won't be able to make a difference to the world. People in the modern day world, more and more people, she said this is not just true with people who are affluent, but people from all ranks of society. They want to leave back a legacy. They want to make a difference to the world, put a dent in the universe, and do something extraordinary, out of the ordinary. So I was just wondering how fast the world is moving. Rewind 30 years, and I remember distinctly my maternal grandfather. The better part of his day would be spent sitting in the fields. He was some kind of a landlord. He had a lot of fields and farms, and he could afford it. So the better part of his day is to sit in the fields, staring into nothingness, puffing on his beady. He couldn't care less about what people thought about him. Definitely he wasn't concerned about his, he had no doubts about his sexual orientation. He fathered 7 children. And think, the thought of leaving behind a legacy even crossed his mind. So these are typical, you know, problems of Kali Yuga, and such issues are going to only increase with time. I would like to especially focus on the number one problem, of course. Number two is beyond my pale, especially sitting on the Vyasas. So, that need that people feel for making a difference in the world and leaving behind a legacy couldn't be branded as something bad. Of course, we see a lot of things going wrong in this world. So there is a desire, there is sincerity, there could be sincerity there, wanting to make a difference in the world, making the world a better place. Anyway, we will look into that a little later. But doing something extraordinary, really making a difference to the world, that is a prerogative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, actually. And every incarnation that Krishna has taken, he has done something extraordinary. The Dashavatara Stotra by Jayadev Goswami. Pralaya Payodi Jale Dratavana Sivedam Vitavahitram Charitram Akedam Keshavadrita Meena Sharira Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare. So describing the Matsya Avatar, Jayadev Goswami says that during the time of universal devastation, pralaya payodhi jale, in the ocean of universal devastation, the Lord assumed the form of an extraordinarily huge fish to save the Vedas, the Vedic literatures, from getting drowned. And then this chalayasi vikramane balimadbhuta vamana padanakha neerajanita jana pavana keshavadrita vamana rupa jay jagadisha hare Jai Jagadisha Hare, Jai Jagadisha Hare. So, regarding Vamana Rupa, the Lord's incarnation as Vaman Dev, Jiva Goswami describes how Chalesi Vikramani, showing his prowess, Adbhuta Vamana, he assumed the gigantic form of Vamandev, you know, he increased his size tremendously to cheat Balimara, Chalayasi. And Padanaka Neera Janita Janapavana. And his foot actually truth be spoken, it was only Vamandev who put a dent in the universe. Not just a dent, he made a hole in the universe. And truly, that hole that he made in the universe brought in the Mother Ganga. It was Janita Jana Pavana, which purified the entire universe, made a difference to the universe. Truly made a difference to the universe. So the credit goes to Vamandev actually. So, all incarnations, they do something extraordinary. And then, Krishna kind of generalizes what they all do in the Bhagavad Gita. Paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya chadushkrutam, dharma samsthapanarthaya, sambhavami devide. They protect the devotees, paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya chadushkrutam. They annihilate the demons. And they re-establish the principles of dharma by imparting Vedic injunctions. Sambhavami yuge yuge. So, this is what every incarnation does. Doing something extraordinary. Protecting the devotees. Annihilating the demons. And they do it like clockwork. It's like almost predictable. That this is what they will do. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the incarnation of Kali Yuga, just like the people of Kali Yuga want to do something extraordinary, even Mahaprabhu's incarnation is extraordinary. He doesn't follow the general trend of other incarnations. He stands out. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, rather than displaying himself as extraordinary, he presented himself as an ordinary devotee. An ordinary jiva, to the extent that when people addressed him as a Supreme Lord, he used to block his ears and cry out, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. And paritranaya sadhunam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all other incarnations, they protected or delivered only the devotees. But Mahaprabhu, he delivered and protected not just the devotees, but everybody. In that way, he was extraordinary, even in terms of incarnations. He was an extraordinary incarnation. There's a beautiful few lines that Prabhupada writes in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. As the Lord appeared just to maintain Lord Brahma from the attack of Madhu and Kaitabha, he also appeared to protect the great devotee Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada says, right? That the Lord appeared to maintain Lord Brahma from the attack of Mahidevan and Kataba. He also appeared to protect the great devotee Prahlad Maharaj. And then Prabhupada says, Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to protect the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. Just like Lord Narasimhadev, he came to protect Prahlad. Lord Chaitanya comes to protect the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. He is not just concerned about protecting the devotees, but he is concerned about delivering and protecting all the conditioned souls, regardless of who they are. This point is brought out by Bhaktivinoda Thakur also in his bhajan. He mona durmati samsara bhitore pudiya chinu ami. He portrays himself as an ordinary conditioned soul. And he calls himself that. He says that, you know, because of my polluted mind, I have fallen into this material world. E mona durmati samsara bhitore pudiya chinu ami tava nija jana konu mahajane pataiya dile tumi. And then he says, tava nijajana, one of your pure confidential associates, has sent me to your lotus feet for deliverance. And later on in his bhajan, this stanza comes up. Nanda Suta Jini Chaitanya Gosai Nijanama Kori Daan Tarilo Jagata Tumiyo Jaiya Loho Nija Paritran. So, I've come to you, my Lord, because I've heard that Nanda Suta Jini Chaitanya Gosai, the son of Nanda Maharaj, has come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he has come to give his own holy names. Tarilo Jagata Tumiyo Jaya. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are delivering the entire universe. Loho Nija Paritran. And so, this particular devotee has sent me to you, saying that Mahaprabhu is delivering the entire universe. You also go and get your deliverance. Loho Nija Paritran. So Paritran is for everybody in Kali Yuga. Mahaprabhu offers Paritran to everybody in Kali Yuga. Not just Paritranaya Sadhunam, as is the case with all other incarnations. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an extraordinary incarnation from that perspective also. And regarding Vinashaya Chadushkritam, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, he often tells this story of, you know, once they went on a yatra to Jagannath Puri, and there they visited the ashram of Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj. And there he was requested to speak. And there he, with tears in his eyes, in ecstasy, he was telling, no other incarnation has ever held a broom in his hand before except Lord Chaitanya. Other incarnations, Lord Ram held a bow and an arrow. And, you know, different incarnations, they hold different weapons in their hands. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Shri Krishna, he held a flute in his hand. Lord Chaitanya, the only incarnation, who held a broom in his hand, showing the way of how to destroy the demoniac propensities within our hearts. So when did Lord Chaitanya hold the broom? During the Gundicha Margin. And Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur's elaborate purport, you know, Prabhupada quotes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Lord Chaitanya, through the Gundicha Margin, he was demonstrating how we should be enthusiastic to cleanse our heart of demoniac propensities in order to invite the Supreme Lord to come and reside there. That's what is the significance of Gundicha Margin. So by holding a broom, Lord Chaitanya is imploring us. That's the instrument. How to actually cleanse our heart. We should cleanse our heart of demoniac propensities. So to speak, the weapon that Lord Chaitanya held was the broom. And so Bhaktivedanta Puri Maharaj, he was expressing that in ecstasy, that how no other incarnation, really Mahaprabhu, like thinking out of the box, is like considered cool in Kali Yuga. No other incarnation can think out of the box like Lord Chaitanya can. In every respect. And then dharma samsthapanarthaya, establishing the principles of dharma. Like in all other incarnations, it is the Supreme Lord who imparts the principles of dharma. As Lord Shri Krishna, Krishna imparted the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. But when Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya, he takes instructions from Arjuna. Arjuna incarnated as Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai is in combined incarnation of both Vishakasaki and Arjuna. So, you see, extraordinary. Rather than imparting instructions, he received instructions from his devotees, just to glorify them. So in every respect, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an extraordinary incarnation amongst incarnations. And especially something extraordinary that Lord Chaitanya did was which no other incarnation did before. All other incarnations, they came in the mood of being the Supreme Enjoyer. But Lord Chaitanya, he renounced his position of being the Supreme Enjoyer. And that comes out writ large in this particular pastime of him accepting sannyas, which happened on Makara Sankranti. And he did it. Now there are different levels of understanding of Lord Chaitanya's acceptance of sannyas. But what's of relevance to us is for most of us, is Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas to show how much he loves the conditioned souls of this world and how much he is desperate for them to come back to the spiritual world. Now, love is connected with gratitude, is related with appreciation. Appreciation, gratitude, love, they go hand in hand. Right? So, when we are able to appreciate what someone is doing for us, then we feel gratitude. And when we reciprocate, that's what love is all about. Right? So when there is appreciation, then there is gratitude, and when there is gratitude, there is love. The three are connected. Now, these prayers by Kunti Maharani here, many of those prayers are her expressions of gratitude, like our Purushottam Prabhu so sweetly explained yesterday, that most of these prayers are expressions of gratitude of Kunti Maharani. You know, like she's saying in one of the prayers, not sure whether it has already come or whether it is yet to come. Vishan Mahagne Purushada Darsana Asat Sabhaya Ganvasa Kritsrata Mrade Mrade Anek Maharatastrato. So she is recollecting how Krishna has protected the Pandavas under various circumstances. For a pure devotee naturally has that appreciation for what Krishna is doing. Right? Krishna is the one who is providing the air to breathe. He is the one who is providing the food to eat. He is doing everything for us. And a pure devotee is conscious of it. And a pure devotee appreciates Krishna's kindness at every moment. So pure devotee's gratitude for Krishna is overwhelming, and so he is ever looking for an opportunity to reciprocate with what Krishna is doing, wanting to render service to Lord Shri Krishna. So for a pure devotee, there need not be anything more. You know, just that Krishna is providing air, water, food, that is sufficient in itself for to invoke that feelings of love within the heart of a pure devotee. We see many of the devotees of Srila Prabhupada also, who are now gurus in ISKCON. Many of them hardly had any direct, interaction with Prabhupada, like that famous pastime, which is often quoted of, during one of the Punayatras, Niranjan Swami Maharaj was asked, how many times did you get an opportunity to actually reciprocate, interact with Prabhupada? And he showed like this, zero. No interaction with Prabhupada at all. But still, so much love for Prabhupada in his heart. Why? Because there is appreciation. Appreciation that Prabhupada has given his books. Appreciation that Prabhupada has given the association of devotees. The opportunity to perform devotional service has given the holy names. The list is endless for a pure devotee of what the other devotees are doing for them and what Krishna is doing for them. Kunti Maharani here, for example, she's appreciating what Krishna has done long, long ago when they were in the forest, when the Pandavas were still kids, how Krishna protected them. She remembers all of that, has deep appreciation for what Krishna has done. She is feeling gratitude for Krishna, feeling unlimited love for Krishna. Now she is not telling, fine, it was Krishna's responsibility, because after all, we are his devotees, so it's his responsibility to protect us. What's the big deal? If he really loved us, he should have come and stayed with us in the forest during Vanvas. Then, you know, he really loved us. No. That kind of argument is more common in Kali Yuga. Right? Nothing is enough for the people of Kali Yuga. No matter how much somebody does, appreciation is very difficult for people of Kali Yuga to have in their hearts. That's why, you know, in married life also, it is told that you should appreciate, the husband is told, you should appreciate your wife. Like verbally, you should appreciate your wife. Like how nicely you cook the rice, how nicely you cook the dal, the vegetables, you put the right amount of salt. Not less, not more. How wonderful. And the wife is supposed to keep appreciating the husband. How intelligent you are. How much you're earning for the family. How much money you're giving for my shopping. Thank you for the car you have bought for me. Thank you for the bungalow you have bought for me. So both are told to appreciate each other verbally. Because the Kali Yuga intelligence is dull to catch it, that how much the other person is doing. Now rewind 30 years, and I don't think, you know, my parents ever, it's ridiculous that, you know, my father appreciating my mom, saying that how nicely I cooked the rice or whatever it might be, or whatever else she was doing, or for that matter, even my mother appreciating my father. What to speak of my grandparents? Forget it. They were living on different planets, practically speaking, all through the day. Wouldn't even interact with each other. What to speak of appreciating verbally? But the appreciation was there in the heart. The wife had appreciation for the husband had appreciation for the wife. But as Kali Yuga is progressing, that's vanishing. So it has to be done externally, even when it comes to parenting. When I was small, I don't remember ever my mom making me sit by her side and say, you know, beta, I love you so much. Never it happened. When she used to call me by her side, I would get afraid. Have I done anything wrong? But nowadays, you know, parenting seminar is all about how you should encourage, appreciate what your child has done. You know, no matter how he has painted, you should say, how beautiful is this painting? This amazing. So all these things. Why? Because as Kali Yuga is progressing, people, now myself included, of course, I'm telling it all for myself, to be precise. So, people are so dull that can't really appreciate what the other party is doing for them. And when there is no appreciation, there is no gratitude. And then there is no love. And similar is the case even with the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord also faces the same challenge in Kali Yuga. In other incarnations, he did things which were worth appreciating. Right? That verse in the first kind of the Bhagavatam about Krishna, Saratya Parshada, Sevana Satya Dautya, Virasana Nugamana, Stavana Pranama. So Krishna He accepted the position of a chariot driver. Parshada, you know, he accepted, of course, he accepted the worship during the Rajasuya sacrifice. Sakya, Dautya, he became a messenger from the Pandavas. Virasana, he accepted the position of a night watchman for the sake of the Pandavas. And these things that Krishna did for the Pandavas, it invokes appreciation for the Lord. That how much the Lord is ready to sacrifice His supreme position for the sake of His devotees. Even though He is the Supreme Lord, He became a chariot driver. Even though He is the Supreme Lord, He became a messenger. So it invokes appreciation for the Lord. But in Kali Yuga, apparently, you know, even such scattershot instances of subordination is not sufficient for the conditioned souls of Kali Yuga to really appreciate the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya had to become a beggar, accept the position of a sannyasi, in order to draw the appreciation of the conditioned souls of Kali Yuga. Now the situation, the circumstances under which Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas is important to understand, the background. Now Navadvip can be considered to be the prototype of the entire world for all time to come. Like, Navadvip is like the prototype of the entire world, so to speak. In Navadvip, the Lord had intimate associates, and once the Lord took the Sankirtan out of Srivast Thakur's home, most of Navadvip became devotees. But still, there were people in Navadvip who were nonetheless opposed to Lord Chaitanya, who were atheists, blasphemers, who criticized him, who plotted to beat him up. Now, after that particular incident wherein he kind of chastised the Brahmana, you know, when he was chanting Gopi Gopi, you know that pastime, he was chanting Gopi Gopi in ecstasy, and one of the Brahmana came and corrected him, saying that, why are you chanting the names of the gopis? You should chant the name of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya, in his ecstasy, got angry, he took a stick, and he chased that Brahmana away, and the Brahmana, he went, and he went to the assembly of other Brahmanas, and they were beginning to plot how to beat Lord Chaitanya, how to drag down his reputation. So there were such people also in Navadvip. So most of Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya had successfully made them devotees of Lord Krishna. But nonetheless, there were a few who wouldn't become his devotees, who were still opposed to him, who were still envious of him, who still criticized him, who still couldn't appreciate what he was doing. He had already delivered people like Jagai and Madai. He was freely distributing love of Godhead to each and every person. But still, they couldn't appreciate what Lord Chaitanya was doing. So Mahaprabhu wanted to draw them too. He wanted them also to accept the mercy that he was giving. He couldn't let out anybody in Navadvip. And that is the reason he took sannyas. So the very day Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, the very day they heard, the very day these blasphemers, these atheists were opposed to Lord Chaitanya, when they heard that Lord Chaitanya had accepted sannyas, and for Lord Chaitanya to accept sannyas was a big deal actually. It was not like accepting sannyas in ISKCON. It was really accepting sannyas in the sense that during those days it was like begging from door to door. A sannyasi had to beg from door to door. And a sannyasi would have absolutely nothing. He was a beggar practically, with no comforts. Sannyasis were sannyasis. No, I'm not saying that present day sannyasis are not sannyasis, like according to time, place and circumstances. But the point is, Lord Chaitanya actually renounced a lot. The comforts of his home, a loving wife, loving mother, loving friends, loving associates, and the reputation of being the topmost scholar. So he had everything. You know, he had riches, he had fame, he had fortune, he had all the comforts of life. Even materially speaking, he was so opulent in every respect. And when these atheists and blasphemers, when they heard that Nimai Pandit had renounced it all for the sake of the conditioned souls, he had given up his ornaments, he had given up his fine dress, he had even shaved his head, then they could appreciate Lord Chaitanya. Oh really? Nimai Pandit has renounced so much for the sake of the conditioned soul. That much was what it took to invoke appreciation in the hearts of those people of Navadvip who were hell-bent upon not accepting the Sankirtan movement. So, if we are wondering why, you know, people aren't appreciating what I am doing, you know, even the Supreme Lord had a tough time to invoke that appreciation, by the way, in Kali Yuga. Because in Kali Yuga, appreciation is a hard commodity to get. Even the Supreme Lord, he knows their incarnation. All incarnations, they are studded with all kinds of ornaments. Lord Chaitanya not just removed all his ornaments, didn't simply remove his clothes, he even shaved his hair. And then he got the appreciation of the people of Kali Yuga. Kya se kya ho gaya, bewafa tere pyar mein. Now that's what the Supreme Lord will tell to the conditioned souls of Kali Yuga. What I have to do for your sake? Renounce everything and become a sannyasi. And then the people of Navadvip, they could appreciate that yes, you know, Lord, they developed that appreciation for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because they appreciated Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were in a position to accept what he was giving, the holy names of Lord Shri Krishna. And through the holy names, they were in a position to accept Krishna Prem, love of God. Even Lord Chaitanya's associates, for that matter, Nityananda Prabhu, he was going from door to door, begging the people, accept the holy names. He used to roll on the ground, begging them, please accept what I am giving. But still there were people who couldn't appreciate the sacrifice that he was doing. Who couldn't appreciate to what extent he was going to help them improve their lives. Nityananda Prabhu had to literally break his head to gain appreciation of Jagai and Madai. So when Madai, you know, when Madai, yes, it was Madai, when he hit that pot on Lord Chaitanya's head, on Nityananda Prabhu's head, and Nityananda Prabhu's head started bleeding, that's when it occurred to Madai, he could actually, that was a point when Madai appreciated that this person is actually our well-wisher. That was a point when he saw the blood on Nityananda Prabhu's head. That's when it dawned on him how kind Nityananda Prabhu is. And Raj Maharaj in one of his classes says that Nityananda Prabhu did it strategically to invoke that appreciation of Madhai. And that was a turning point. So not just Lord Chaitanya, he had to go, you know, cross all limits. Even Nityananda Prabhu had to cross all limits. Take on physical injuries to invoke that appreciation in the heart of the Jagais and Madais of Kali Yuga. And we can see even in the life of Srila Prabhupada. You know, the travel, the travail of his going to the United States, 30 days on the ship, seasickness, 2 heart attacks. And we all have this experience, right? When someone is becoming a devotee, once they have read the Gita and the Bhagavatam, the best book to give them is Prabhupada Lilamrut. Because when they read Prabhupada Lilamrut, they really develop appreciation for Prabhupada. How much Prabhupada sacrificed? It can be seen as the plan of the Supreme Lord so that, you know, all people in ISKCON for all time to come can really have that genuine appreciation and love for Prabhupada. And to invoke that appreciation for Prabhupada, Prabhupada was made to go through that heart attacks, all those troubles, all those difficulties on the Jalduta, and even after he reached New York City, so much of Krishna could have made it a cakewalk for him. But he had to go through so much of trouble, and when people read it, I have seen it. You know, their love of Prabhupada increases like anything. And then their appreciation for Prabhupada's purports, it grows manifold. Even myself, you know, when I first read Prabhupada Lilamrita, it was an abridged edition, that small book, you know, which is like concise. When I read it, like, I was on vacation at home at that time. I was vacation from the college. So the whole day I used to sing, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Srila Prabhupada. And my mother used to ask, what is this new mantra? Hare Krishna was okay. What is new Prabhupada, whole day you are singing nowadays. But you can't just help but, you know, so, yes, that's the reason why Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, coming back to the point, that to invoke that appreciation and love for him in the hearts of the conditioned souls. And he really did something extraordinary. And coming back to the story about the therapist I started with, as I was saying, one of the top concerns of the people in the modern day world is how to leave behind a legacy, how to really bring about, how to make a world a better place. How can I make the world a better place? So Lord Chaitanya actually demonstrated, right, how to make the world a better place. First of all, it takes sacrifice to make a world a better place. Simply sacrifice is not sufficient though, right? Like this particular therapist was telling me, there are a lot of people, they have that urge to do something substantial for the world. But then they're afraid of taking that leap. Because if you actually are serious about it, and a lot of people are sincere, it takes a lot of sacrifice. So Mahaprabhu demonstrated, yes, it takes a lot of sacrifice, but you will be able to handle that sacrifice if with that sacrifice, with that external act of selflessness, simultaneously, if you are internally taking shelter of Lord Shri Krishna. So immediately after taking sannyas, the verse that Lord Chaitanya chanted was the verse chanted by the Avanti Brahman from the 11th canto. Etam chasthaya paratmanishtham adhyasitam purvatamaye maharshibhi aham tarishyami durantaparam tamo mukundangri nishevayeva. Etam chasthaya paratmanishtham. So following in the footsteps adhyasitam purvatamayar maharshvi. Following the footsteps of the great souls in the past, I am also going to take wholehearted shelter of the Supreme Lord. So along with that external revolutionary spirit, unless we embark on an internal revolution, we will end up at the therapist. That is the story. So Mahaprabhu said, he actually demonstrated the extraordinary incarnation for Kali Yuga, demonstrated how, if you actually want to become extraordinary, make a dent in the universe, bring about a change in the world, how to do it. It will take external sacrifice for sure, but along with that, along with trying to change the world outside, you should also make efforts to change the world inside. Right? Very interesting. So Radhanath Swami Maharaj, one thing I really appreciate about him is the precision of his definitions. I distinctly remember one Mayapur Yatra, he was defining what is seva. Seva, literally service. But he said, seva means no selfishness and no egoism. Just no selfishness is not seva. Along with no selfishness, it has to be coupled with no egoism also. No egoism means what? No egoism means it's not I who am trying to help others. It's not I who am trying to change the world. I can be nothing but just an instrument in the hands of the Supreme Lord. And to be an instrument in the hands of the Supreme Lord, I have to wholeheartedly work on my own self-purification to be used as an instrument in the hands of the Supreme Lord. So, yeah, I already overshot the time. So that was it about. I kind of heard classes given by Maharaj during the Mayapur Yatra of 2009. That was the 500th anniversary of Mahaprabhu's taking sannyas. Beautiful lectures, so nourishing. But I knew I couldn't speak it verbatim here. It would be like wandering beyond the limits of my realizations. So I presented it with some mundane examples, which was my level. So thank you so much for your kind attention. And I strongly recommend that, if possible, you can hear those lectures also on Makara Sankranti. Thank you very much. Grantharashram Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.